Greetings, church. It's a joy and a blessing to be with you tonight in this special occasion of the kingdom work of the Christ kingdom. And so we bring you greetings in the name of the living Christ. And we bring you greetings from Trinity Fellowship, Church of the Brethren. And Brother Garnet and I are having the privilege tonight of sharing with you in this special occasion. Just as a way of announcement, if I may, Trinity invites all of you to join us if you would so desire to be a part of our revivals that starts Wednesday evening of this week. So if you are looking for something to do this week from Wednesday through Sunday, we would love to have you come join us at Trinity, which is near Wayne's Bar, for those of you that don't know. Brother Nelson Whitmer will be our evangelist, and if you're not able to make it, we do covet your prayers. We are praying for a Holy Spirit revival. Brother Garnet asked that I read a passage of scripture from the New Testament of 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along or simply listen to the scriptures as they are read. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know of truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. May God bless the reading of his word. May God bless his word as it is proclaimed by our brother. I invite you to kneel as we, those that are able, as we go to prayer.
Thank you, Brother Earl, for your prayer this evening, and we echo his greeting from the Trinity congregation, and it is good to be with you folk this evening and share together in this important service in the life of this congregation. We got here a little early this evening, and so we drove up on top of a hill and took a walk through the cemetery there, and I told my wife and Earl and Barb, I know a lot of these people that are buried in that cemetery. A few names I didn't recognize, but quite a few that I did, and it's a reminder to all of us that this world is not our home, and that's a generation that has served in days gone by, and as the song says, we're here to serve the present age, our calling to fulfill. And so it's good to be with you and share in this important service. I'd like to speak just for a few moments this evening, kind of a sermonette, I guess. But it's taking seriously our call to ministry. Now, every one of us tonight have been called. The Bible says we've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. We've been called out from among to become a part of the family of God. And so we're all called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Jesus said before his ascension in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." And we're all called to be witnesses of Christ. But there are some of us at times that get a call for a set apart ministry out from among the group. In the early church, you know, when they decided to call deacons, they said, "Look out among you for special men with special gifts." And God has always had, I'm thankful that over the many, many years, God has always had those that were called out from among and that have been willing to serve. You know, we're involved tonight in the greatest work in all the world. We hear a lot today on the news of this presidential election, the next one that's coming up, and all of the turmoil that surrounds that, and those that desire that office, and how great of an office that is, and how great of a job that is to serve the greatest nation in the world. But I have news tonight. We're involved in a greater work. We're involved in a work that has eternal values. Whoever becomes president in a couple of years, it'll all be over. And but when we're working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's the greatest work in all the world. We're building the greatest building that has ever been built. Jesus, you know, told Peter when Peter made that great confession of faith that he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "Upon this rock," or upon this confession of faith, "Peter, I'm going to build a church, my church." It's not our church, it's his church. And he says, "Even the gates of hell will not prevail against it." You know, down through the annals of history, Satan has tried to destroy Christians, wipe them out, but there's always been a remnant, and until Jesus comes, there will continue to be a remnant, a faithful remnant, to serve him and to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth until he comes or calls. Our ministry tonight is God's work, and Peter says that we are lively stones. That is, we're living stones. In 1 Peter 2:5, he says that we are lively stones, a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're workers together with God. We're workers together with Christ. The Bible says we're laborers together with God. There's two verses of Scripture. The last verse that Brother Earl read tonight, and another verse that's found in Colossians 4:17 that I want to use and just take a few thoughts out of tonight. When I think of taking seriously our call to ministry, two verses and two words that stand out to me in those two verses. Verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, "Take heed." Take heed. Keep those words in mind. Take heed. He says, "Unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And over in Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, writing there to the church at
Colossae, and he refers to an individual that's mentioned in the book of Philemon, and he calls him there a fellow servant or a fellow soldier, I believe it is, a fellow soldier. He was a soldier of the cross. He was a brother to Paul. His name was Archippus. If I have it pronounced right, it's in Colossians 4:17. We read again those two words, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." That thou fulfill it. Continue in them and fulfilling. Take heed. In other words, give close attention. That word, take heed, is found quite a few places in the New Testament. And it really means that we are to pay close attention. We're to take seriously. We're to keep a close watch. Take heed means to listen carefully. In other words, be on your watch. Be on your guard. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we need to stay true. We need to stay right. Because tonight, God's reputation is at stake. Christ's image is at stake, and the church's witness is at stake as well. Take heed to the ministry. Tonight, whatever our administrative gifts are, whether it's that of administrating in the church, serving as elder, presiding elder, or assistant presiding elder, whether it's preaching in the church, whether it's singing in the church, whether it's deaconing, whether it's just sitting in the pew, whatever our ministry is, that's part of the ministry work of the Church of Jesus Christ. Whether it's just to come on Sunday morning and sit here and pray and encourage those that are involved in teaching and singing and preaching that we enjoy every Sunday morning and other services like this evening when we gather together. Let's continue to encourage one another and build up one another and strengthen one another in the body of Christ. We need to take heed to our ministry. In Romans chapter 12, we read about the varied ministry gifts. It says, whether ministry, let us wait on our ministry, and mercy and teaching and all of those varied ministry gifts, the things that happen in the body of Christ. How important that is. It's God's ministry. And we are stewards. We are His servants. And whatever we do, the Bible says, we need to do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We're not doing the work of the kingdom for the praise of men, for to be seen of men, to get the plaudits of the people. We're not doing it for that. We're doing it for the glory of God, because we love Him, the Bible says, because He first loved us. And so we're involved in ministry tonight, every one of us. We're just His stewards. The Bible says that it's important that stewards be found faithful. You know, I believe unto whom much is given, the Bible says much is going to be required. And if God has given us gifts, we need to use them for His glory, for the upbuilding of His kingdom, not for, as we mentioned, the praise of men. So whatever we do tonight, let's do it. Jesus says, the Bible says that when we've done all that we can do, we're just to say, we're unprofitable servants. We've just done that which is our duty to do. And so every one of us tonight have work to do, but some have been called out to specific tasks. And so we need to do that to the best of our ability and for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. We need to take heed, the Bible says. When I think of taking heed, it says to ourselves, take heed unto thyself. Several things that we'd like need to look at when we think about taking heed to ourselves. Take heed to thyself. To Archippus, he said, Take heed unto the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Take heed to the ministry that we've received. Take heed to ourselves. You know, sometimes ourself, we struggle in the Christian life. We have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sin and self and Satan. And I believe sometimes self can be our worst enemy. Self causes me more problem than what I think the devil sometimes gets blamed on a lot of things that he's not guilty of. It's self. And the Bible says that, I think of that verse of Scripture where it talks about sowing and reaping. And it talks there in Galatians chapter 6. It says, he that soweth, we sometimes refer to that, it says, he that soweth to the flesh, the flesh. The King James Version does not say the flesh. He that soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we need to guard against self. Take heed to ourselves. As I said, self can be a hindrance in our work and labor of love for the Lord. Be careful that we don't become so busy with the material and temporal things of life that we neglect our spiritual walk with the Lord. And do not allow the flesh to overwhelm and to dictate our lifestyle. We need to walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, and we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We are living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And so we need to take heed to ourselves. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4:7. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit of God working through us to carry on his work of ministry and service in the life of the church. And the Bible talks about occupying until he comes. We need to work while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. Thinking about taking heed to ourselves. 1 Corinthians 9:27. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That is taking heed to one's self. We need to guard our own selves, guard our own bodies, and so on. Not only does he says we need to take heed to ourselves here in verse 16, but he's saying that we need to take heed unto the doctrine. The doctrine, that is our belief system. The doctrines, Earl read in the very beginning that the Spirit speaketh expressly, you know, that in the latter times some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The doctrine of the Word of God, those are those things that we believe as a basic foundation of our belief system. Those things that we believe about the Word of God, those things that we believe about Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ, how important that is. We need to take heed about that. We need to be able to continue to defend that. We need to continue to contend for that. To stand for truth and stand for righteousness. You know, people sometimes ask you, what do you believe about a certain thing? What do you believe? Some people don't hardly know what they believe. One fellow said, I believe what my church believes. And the man said, well, what does your church believe? And they said, well, they believe what I believe. And the man was a little frustrated. The second man, he says, well, what do you and your church believe? And the man said, we both believe the same thing. And so that's just about where a lot of people are today. They hardly know what they believe. We need to have a foundation, a biblical foundation of truth. We need to have a ready answer. Doesn't Peter say, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and with fear. We need to have the doctrine. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it, and be willing to share that with those that would ask us from time to time. The Bible talks about varied doctrines. It talks here about good doctrine, sound doctrine at places. And so we believe that our biblical, our brethren card is biblical sound doctrine. And we need to have a foundation, our life built upon that, and be willing to share that with other people. And so tonight we need to continue in the doctrine as well. The doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. And then there over in the book of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, where it talks about the ministry. Take heed unto the ministry. God has given each one of us a ministry. It may not be a public ministry behind this pulpit, but it's a ministry in front of an unbelieving world, where we are witnesses and where we are to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to continue in the doctrine. We need to continue in the ministry. We need to fulfill that. It seems to convey the thought that God has definite purposes for His servants. He has special work for every one of us to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, where we have there that He placed in the church some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He says, for the perfecting or for the maturing of the church, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, and so on. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The ministry of the churches with these varied ministries is to make us more Christ-like, to mature us. We'll never reach the maturity of Jesus Christ, but we're to strive towards that. Paul says, he had not attained unto that for which he had been apprehended. But he said, forgetting the things which are behind, he reached forth to those things which are before. He says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In closing tonight, in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, when Paul was ready to leave the Ephesian elders, and they went out and they fell on his neck, you know, and they kissed him and embraced him, and they were sorry to see him leave. And he gave them some instructions. And one of the verses, it's Acts 20, 28, he says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. There it is. Take heed again. In other words, consider seriously. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own precious blood. Tonight, as deacons, as elders in charge, as ministers, our calling tonight is to feed the flock, to protect the flock, to encourage the flock here at Pleasant Hill. Before we're saved, we're as sheep that has gone astray. We're now sheep under the shepherd and bishop of our souls. We're sheep, shepherd. He's our shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the bishop of our souls, so on. And we need to feed the flock, to encourage, to equip the saints of God, to build up the body of Christ, strengthen the weak, lift up the fallen, restore the backslidden, whatever's necessary. It all happens in every congregation We have work that needs to be done. He says, all the flock, take heed. And Peter also says that we're not to be lords over God's heritage, but we are to be shepherds. That's a sobering thought. We don't lord over people, but we lead them as a shepherd leads his sheep. We are watchmen upon the walls of Zion. Hebrews 13, there's a couple of verses there, verse 7 and verse 17, where it talks about encouraging or praying for them that have the rule over you. People don't like to be ruled over. They don't like to be lorded over. But they will accept a shepherd that leads them beside the still waters and into the green pastures. Shepherds sometimes have to use the ruler, so to speak. Rule means to have authority over. There are times when shepherds need to, an unruly sheep needs to be disciplined, and sometimes, but we need to do it in love. And those verses of scripture says we need to pray for those that have the rule over us. So I trust tonight that as we proceed with the remainder of this service, that the Holy Spirit of God, taking seriously our call to ministry, whoever is called tonight, whoever is affirmed, those of us that have been, might recognize the importance, that part that we have to play in the church today to serve this present age. Lord bless you, Brother Ray, as to you.
At this time, I want to ask the three new deacons and their wives to come and sit on the front bench up here. And while they're coming up here, I want to thank you two brethren for serving us. You did a very good job. The Lord used you. And as Brother Garnett was preaching, I kind of started feeling guilty for putting a time limit on him. So maybe we could have him come back and finish his sermon sometime. So thank you, brethren, for your service to us. We're going to have the vows of commitment and then the laying on of hands, and then we'll have a closing songs. So I'm going to now ask them the vows of commitment in connection with their calling. And I guess I'd like to encourage us, all the deacons out there, and even us in the ministry team, to just remember the vows that we made at our calling. And, you know, how are we fulfilling? Are we fulfilling those vows? Are we living up to what we told this congregation? So we're going to go from this side over this way, and you can respond by answering yes. Inasmuch as the church has called you to be deacons, I now ask you to respond to the following questions. Do you declare anew your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ? And will you seek to cultivate more fervently your spiritual life by Bible reading, meditation, prayer, and Christian witnessing? Crystal?
Yes.
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 Will you encourage and lead the congregation in deepening its spiritual life and its ministries of compassion? Will you commit your lives to the scriptural qualifications of the deacon's office, work to alleviate the material needs of the congregation, and assist and support the office of the ministry of the word?
Yes.
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 Will you seek to be a good example in faith and conduct? Last question, do you then accept the call to the ministry of deacon in this body of Christ and promise to perform faithfully all the duties thereof?
Yes.
They have all answered in the affirmative. They have all answered yes. So I'm going to ask at this time the ministers that I asked to help out come forward. I'm going to ask the deacons to kneel at this time, and the rest of you can bow your heads.
Our Father, we pause before you. We're grateful that you've opened access through your blood into the very presence of your throne. We're thankful for Jesus Christ, the gospel that brings salvation. Now, Lord, you see Dustin and Emily. You have called them to a work. You have walked with them through life. They have walked with you through many blessed times and many, many heartaches. Lord, we know that the future is in your hands, and we commit them to you and ask the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon them that they might fulfill their vows unto you to serve the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit will guide them and that they will submit willingly day by day to your leading. Lord, we pray for the congregation that you would put it in our hearts to uphold them and continue in prayer and lift them before your throne. We pray your blessings on their families in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence with thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Father, for these who have offered up the privilege that serve thee in this capacity. We pray, Lord, a special blessing upon them. Lord, you know what's ahead, and we just commit it all into thy care. Lead and guide them. We pray a special anointing of the Spirit that you would guide them and help them to fulfill this duty as they are called from the church, from thee. We pray, Father, that thy will may be done through their lives. Bless them, their family. Lord, we just pray for them in these perilous times that we live in. Lord, that they would be faithful and true to thee in this work and in their lives. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus.
Father, I want to come to you at this time, and I want to pray for Brother Mike and Sister Maureen. Father, you have called them to the ministry of the deaconship. And Father, with this calling, you always promise to give the power to fulfill that calling. So, Father, I pray for them that your special power would be upon them. Father, that as they face hard times, that your grace would be there for those hard times. We ask that you will give them wisdom as they make decisions. And Father, in every way, Father, I ask that you will bless them and use them to minister to especially the physical needs of this congregation, but also as they become involved in spiritual needs, Father, we ask that you would also bless them in a wonderful way. We thank you for the way you are using them, and I ask that you would continue to use them. Father, I pray for all three of these deacons that your power would be upon them, that they would not depend upon themselves, but that they would always remember this night, that they would remember that it was you who called them, and it is your grace that will continue to give them the ability to lead. Again, we ask your blessing upon them. And Father, tonight, as you have also chosen to call Brother Dwayne to assist in the leadership here at Pleasant Hill as an assistant presiding elder, Father, we ask your blessing upon Brother Dwayne and Sister Carol. And as you have called them, we know that you will give the grace for any situation that comes up. And so, Father, we as a congregation lift Dwayne and Carol up to you. And I also ask that you be with Sharon and me also, Father, that we would always seek your will and not our will, that we would be willing to always turn to you in prayer and not look to ourselves. Father, I thank you for this congregation of believers who have chosen to stand on truth, who have taken the road that is different from many congregations around us. And Father, I pray for each member here that they would continue to stand strong. Thank you for their willingness to be different. Thank you for their willingness to take the stands that they do. And Father, I ask that you will bless them, this congregation, in a wonderful way. Thank you, Father, for being a loving Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who energizes us and gives us power and gifts to do your will. Father, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Let's all pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.